Jesus tells another great story that Jeff just read. And when I read that earlier in the week, immediately my mind went to a family reunion that I had been invited to a number of summers ago. It was quite a big deal. Our family hadn't gotten together as a whole bunch, the extended family, uncles, aunts, nephews, nieces, you know, probably 70 people strong, for at least 20 years, I would think. And when we got the invitation, we thought, well, it looks good. We'll think about it, put the invitation in the drawer, and, you know, frankly, wait for a better offer. You know, and so time came to RSVP. Oh, I think, aren't we doing something that day? Yeah, I think so. Certainly we're going to do something that day, and I don't know what in the world we did do. Probably went to a ball game or something like that. We were living near Erie, went to a number of Erie Seawolf minor league baseball games. How many have been to one of those, you know? Not many of you, I'm sure. Oh, there's one. But was it, you know, compared to the family reunion, out of all the people who were invited, about 99% showed up. You know, I was one of the few who didn't go. You know, I had an excuse, I had a reason, and I missed a great time, great nourishment, great strengthening of family bonds and all kind of good stuff. And people said, you know, you were missed. And they were angry about that there. And so Jesus tells that story not to just make it in terms of a social engagement, but where is the heart in relation to Christ and His kingdom? Reminds me of a Christian play I saw a number of years ago called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. Play was well done, and it was very emotional, showing what it might be like to go to heaven and what it might be like to go to hell. And it was very intense. And at the end of the play, a great invitation given by two of the guys who went to heaven in the play. They said, heaven is great. Don't miss it. And with such intensity, it made you want to turn to God and say, oh, I want Christ, because I realize He's the only way to go to heaven. So in this banquet story, Jesus is saying, God is great. Don't miss Him. Life with Him now and forever is great. Don't miss it. Jesus happens to be at a big Sabbath meal when He tells the story. It was a big deal to have a big banquet back then. The Pharisees were there. He was at a house of a prominent Pharisee. So He's at a big meal, tells the story of a big meal. And at the big meal, He does heal a man. And kind of disrupts everything, and he gets a lot of guff for touching somebody's life. And he further puts on the heat on the host of the banquet by saying, hey, you know, when you have a banquet, don't forget the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the lame and the blind. Because these are the folks that don't get to a banquet. There are many who are left out, who don't fit in. So if you say, well, I don't know if I fit in with God, or God's people. Jesus said, I would make sure you get an invitation to come to this, come to that banquet. And then Jesus tells the story of the banquet. He said, a man prepares a huge banquet, invites many guests. Invitations go out. Last invitation, come now. Everything is now ready. Come on. Everything is now ready. And all the people begin to make excuses. Okay, an excuse means I decline or reject the offer. That's what an excuse is. I decline or reject that. And human beings are great at making excuses. Adam and Eve did. Sometimes I make excuses for things. Last time I had a fender bender. I was driving a car. I was backing up, and I hit something. And right away I'm thinking, now, let's see. If you boys wouldn't have took so long on the trail, you know, I might have been, or if you wouldn't have told me where to park, Mrs. Daniels, you know, then I wouldn't have. I mean, when I start making excuses, it's both ridiculous, comical, and a terrible attempt to justify yourself. And of course, we often turn to God with that. In this story, all the excuses given would have seemed ridiculous and comical to the people hearing it. Because a big banquet back then was something everybody wanted to go to. It was was a fantastic social event. You never missed it. Some of the excuses inside the souls that we often give to God are these: I'm tired, I'm busy. Deeper in our soul that we don't verbalize, I do follow other gods, you know, Jesus. I do follow other gods. Or I am busy worshiping myself, or at least some of the things that you have given me. So when people heard this story, they thought, you know, these excuses, they're not gonna work. I remember a youth song that summed up the story of the great banquet. The chorus went like this: I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I've married a wife. I've bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused. I cannot come. And, you know, reading to the story in today's gospel, God brings conviction. He's asking, is him and his kingdom something we would never pass up? It is so far above the excuses that it's not even in the same category. Because look at the excuses. I would think they're pretty good ones. This is where I live anyway. Land, got to take care of that. Oxen, it's my two sons, take care of them. Marriage, take care of that. Aren't these good things? Shouldn't I invest my life in these things? Don't you think they should be at the top of the heap, tip of the top? And all that, that's what's near and dear to me. And I can't come to the banquet. I'm trying to manage all this. I'm too busy. I'm too busy keeping the ship afloat or going down with the ship, as it were, if our excuses are so many. And the question is, do you want to keep sinking? Do you want to keep managing your own life, or do you want to go to the banquet? You want to go to the banquet. Because if you don't go to the banquet, you will sink. That's an inevitable thing. The excuse in the soul of the ones making them, this is where we're at, is I am free from sin here, and I justify myself on the basis of my God-given responsibilities. I will not come to the banquet. I will not come to God. I will not follow Him. Or put him first in my thinking and in my choices. So it's a devastating thing. And again, the excuses look very good. Who made the land? God made the land. Who made the oxen? God made the oxen. Who made the marriage? God made the marriage. I am being a good defense attorney over here with the excuses. But these gifts were not God. God was way, way, way more important than the gifts and the oxen and the marriage. In fact, you can never really celebrate the land or the oxen or the marriage until you learn to celebrate God first, or celebrate God in the midst of the gifts that He has given. And just let God speak to your heart as the excuses that I say ring, you know, in my ears and God's ears, and He draws me back to the banquet. Please excuse me, Lord. Please excuse me. I'm managing my life, and it's more important than You. Now, when the master hears this, he gets angry. He gets angry. It's a rejection of him and his banquet. In Isaiah 53, where did the anger come from and the rejection? Even in the Old Testament, it said that that people would reject and despise the Messiah. And we have to say, boy, you know, a lot of our lives have been like that. Jesus was described as despised and rejected by men. Numbers 14, God tells Moses, He says, hey, how long will these people treat me with contempt and refuse to believe in me? So in this story, you know, the invitation wasn't given to a bunch of spiritual hobos who didn't know right from wrong. These were responsible people holding up responsibilities. And yet God says, hey, you're invited. And if you don't say yes, you're not going to taste how good I am, how good the banquet is. And then looking at the excuses and even in our own soul, wouldn't we say, I think, to ourselves, Do we follow our priorities like that because they're so good to us? Do we follow the world because they're so good to us? Just in terms of putting maybe, you know, that calendar first. I mean, they keep blessing us. They can't wait to see us on Monday. So they say, oh, just let me love you through this week, you know. Is that why we follow the world so much, so busily? Or do they say to us, tell us more about Jesus, you know. We can't wait till you. Is that why we get put them before the Lord? Do we ever get tired of worshiping ourselves? And say, I think I'm going to God's banquet instead. And I think He's going to give for my soul what the world cannot give. Jesus said in John 15, He said, boy, even the rejection of Him is summarized with the statement, they hated me without reason. It's irrational. It doesn't make sense to reject Christ and not follow Him. It really doesn't. It wasn't for the excuse makers in the story. It's not for you and I. We have no excuse before God. Okay, and we should say, I want to take the invitation. I'll take that. And the punchline at this story, Jesus gives it right at the end. He says, pretty tough what the Lord was going to say here. None of the people I invited will get a taste of my banquet. In other words, God won't even seem good to me anymore. It won't even be competition as to whether I should go be close to God, follow Him, or just do something else that normally I'm used to doing. There won't even be any competition. I'm definitely going to follow the world, because I'm used to getting whomped on by them. But Christ would bring us good news even in the midst of our excuses, our no's. The Master says, go quickly and get the lame, the crippled, the blind, and the poor, and tell them to come in. There's still room at the table. And how good it is for you and I if we say, boy, I feel like a blind person that wouldn't get that invitation, and a poor person who I know I don't deserve to be there. And I want to come. I want to come to the banquet. And God would find God coming to get us. Jesus, the Master saying, I'm for people who need mercy and grace. I'm for people who are desperate enough to say, yeah, I'm going to the banquet. I can't live my life on my own, running it my own way. I'm broken. I think Shelley's preaching about that Saturday. Make them come in so my house will be full. And then the house isn't full yet, so there's room for me and you. There's room for our friends who are hurting, who feel poor, crippled, blind, and naked around God's people. Sometimes you go to church, you feel that way. Everybody else seems to know the routine. I feel like out of place. You know, everybody's singing like they're close to the Lord, but I don't even know the song. The poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. There's a place for you and your friend and your family member who hasn't put Christ first. And if you say, well, I'm broken, I can't fix myself, there's a place for you at the table, the invitation for you. I'm trapped in my own sin. There's room for that one. Come, for everything is now ready. And to say, I take what God provides, and I put away excuses. One friend of mine even said, we were talking about church on Sunday, and it hit home with my own soul and my own commitments. He said, boy, you know, to go to church every Sunday would be like giving up cocaine. He said, that's the grip on my soul my schedule has on me. I can't even see myself doing that. You know, my life and my schedule has a hold on me that's like I can't break it. And God would come and say, you know, let me tell you about the banquet of my love and my grace and mercy. And no one would pass it up. And wouldn't even think of it. It would be comical to do so, and tragic. And I asked the Wednesday night Bible study to apply one of the last early verses. Come now, everything is ready. come. What's ready now for us to go to the banquet? Here's part of the banquet. The gift of salvation given because Christ has died and rose again. That's ready. That's ready. Is it? We have no excuses like we need God to do something really big in history so we could follow Him. That's ready. What else is ready? Sins canceled, forgiven. That's ready for you. Anything else ready? We have an empty tomb ready. That Jesus conquered death. That's ready. Come now, everything is ready. You can't come up with anything better. The power of God's Spirit is given to each believer. He's ready. We can go. The Word of God. He surrounds us with 5,000 believers in Westmoreland County, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, in a mission and a purpose. Go love people. Go spread His truth. Come. Everything is now ready for God's children. Come to the banquet. Salvation and walking with the Lord. To taste heaven and follow Jesus. Will you do this? And let God speak to your soul in the midst of, remember, this story was told to, it was at the house of the Pharisee. This was told at the pastor's house. He's told a story at his pastor's house, and everybody's like, oh, man, I better go to that banquet the Lord told me about in terms of knowing Christ, surrendering our life to Him. Might we do that and let the Lord direct as our actions follow our heart? Let's pray together.